Ah, how good and pleasant it is for brethren and sisters to dwell together in unity. All right. Just before I begin, I'd like to, this kind of goes with my message a little, but let's just like to do something really quick that we've never done here before. I want you to think of how many miles you are from this church. How many miles in your mind? Just think, and it can be roughly. This isn't a pass or fail exam. But I want you to raise your hands for those, and we'll do this in a moment, from like 0 to 5 miles, 5 to 10 miles, and kind of go out there. So just about how far you are and how far you are driving to church. How many can raise their hands? I'm from like literally outside the parking lot to within 5 miles. How many have we got? Okay. All right. Now, how many's from 5 to 10 miles? Okay. That's about where I think we are. How about outside of 10? 10 to 15 miles. Woo! We got a couple hands back there. And I think that's probably the furthest, 15 to 20. Oh, my goodness. Forgive me. Look at this. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's quite a drive. 20 and out. Now, we have one. And I don't want to bring attention to any particular person. But, you know, I mean, like 1,200 miles? That's a long ways. We have somebody that came like 12. Hi, Galen. We have one that he either drove in or flew in. I don't know. You know, he's kind of like the geese. He goes in the, you know, when they fly south. And he's like the robins when they come to earth. But praise the Lord. You know, I'm so grateful. And we are so grateful. Every single person that comes and sits in these pews, every single one of you, we're so grateful you're here. And, you know, on the way here, you have to see some signs. And so I've put together a message that I think will be encouraging, and I hope it'll be very encouraging to you. I'm not as computer literate. I'm good with typing, but outside of that, I'm not real good with the sign things. So I made up some things here that I'm going to hang over the end of our little makeshift pulpit here. And I've blown them up, and I hope you can see them enough. But I want to give you a sign, some road signs. And this isn't a driver's course, so it's not going to be exactly like you would do if you're taking a driver's test. But some road signs to heaven. I want to put a spiritual analogy and kind of a spiritual application to some signs as we are going on our way to heaven. But one of the main scriptures I like to read, it's on your bulletin, is 2 Timothy, and it's only part of a scripture. Man put the scriptures in and kind of where they should start and stop. But God said, be watchful in all things. Be watchful in all things. And so I want that thought to kind of be at the forefront of our minds. And I'm going to read just one more scripture so I can get my Bible out of the way so I can go ahead with these papers that I have that will be helpful. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. I just want to read that. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were now a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't it great? God says, we're a special people. So some scriptures I know in my mind and some scriptures I have here, but we're going to just go ahead so I can, I want to give some papers out to you, and you'll see what I mean in here in just a second. I've blown this up the best I could without, you know, if you blow something up on your computer, the bigger you get, the more distorted it gets. So I could only go so far, but hopefully you can see that. But our road signs to heaven, you know, it's kind of like when you're driving down the road and you're heading for church, all of us have to observe signs. and you have to go by the road signs or you kind of get in trouble. And these road signs are really there not to make a correction, but to keep us safe. It's to keep us safe. If there's lights or there's signs or there's something, they're to help us. And God puts signs out there for us to help us on our way to heaven. And I believe that they're sometimes for our correction, but they're for our instruction and to help us in our life in going toward eternity. Did you know we have eternal security in Him? Some people are afraid of that word. No, if you're in God, we are eternally secure. We are in Him. And He gives us signs that we can just know that and be assured of that. But the first sign here is the railroad crossing. I remember one time I was driving with my cousins near Kane, Pennsylvania, and this was scary. We crossed the line, and I actually looked out the window. I was in the back seat. My wife and I were in the back seat, and we looked, and we actually heard the sound of a train. And we crossed over these lines, and this cousin, my wife's cousin, he gunned it, and we got through this. But I can still remember that to this day, that sound of the horn. I actually have a cousin that passed in a railroad crossing. So they're kind of scary to me. I'm always really careful. I look left and I look right. And then what are you supposed to do? Look left and look right again. Because, when you go across these railroad tracks, there can be dangerous if there's a train coming. And, we serve a great God, but we live in a world with horrible things happening. We live in a world where we are getting older. Our bodies, suffer things. We live in a world where there's all kinds of catastrophes going on. And, we have to be careful because the devil, he comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But God comes that we have life and that we have more life more abundantly. But we have to be careful. Because we are in that place where if we're in the wrong situation, we could find ourselves with a train coming at us. We could find ourselves in a spot that we just wish we weren't there. So let's just kind of watch for those signs. And God will touch you and give you. He'll help us find our way. He'll help you on your way to heaven. There's the next sign I like. Is one of my favorites, although they all seem like my favorite. It says left turn, yield on green. But what I like to focus on is the word yield. In Romans chapter 6, you will actually find the words that God says, yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness unto Him. So He wants us, when we see a yield sign, in the spiritual sense, He wants us to yield to Him. And yield means present. Yield means present yourselves to God. Yield to God as instruments. Now, why does the Lord use the word instruments? Well, instrument, when you play an instrument, the instrument yield to you and you yield to the instrument. And you kind of become one. When Marcia has her keys on this keyboard, she is touching the keys. And the keys are yielding to the musician. I was at Jason's house a while ago, and he brought out, and I've been reading on the internet about the American native flute. He's got my mind. When my mind goes to an instrument, it's just like, oh, I got to read on this. And he brought out this American native instrument, and it was so beautifully sounding, and it was so, it's so simple, but it's been around for centuries and centuries and probably 1,000 years, but it was made by early American Indians, and it sounds so beautiful to me. So I've been reading. I almost don't tell anyone. I want one. But the God says, yield yourselves as instruments, because you become a part of that instrument and it flows in you and you flow in it. And so that's why God, I think, illustrates that when we become part of Him and we're yielding to Him, we present ourselves to Him. He becomes part of us. That's why Jesus used the analogy of we are like a tree. He is the trunk, and, you know, he's the branches, and we're just the, you know, I think of it like we're just little twigs. But he's the mammoth. He's the oak. He's the strong one. He's the roots. But we're engrafted. We're engrafted in him. But we yield ourselves to him. And then we begin to yield ourselves in our minds and in our soulish realm and in our heart. And the scripture says, as we yield to him, our spirit will bear witness that we are a son or daughter of God. Some people are saying, how do you know? You have to know in here. You have to know in here. And don't let anyone talk you out of it. No matter what happens in life, don't let anyone talk you out of it. You're going to yield to God, and he is going to bear witness with you that you are a child or a son of God. Amen. Our next one is kind of a little bit different here. It's kind of one of these signs that show you that there's going to be two ways of traffic flowing. And so I don't like to think of it like this. In a spiritual application, I like to think of it like this. They call songs. They say, let's sing songs that aren't just horizontal, but let's sing some songs that are vertical. That means meaning your mind and your prayer is upward. It's like prayerful, or you're ascending to God, or God's ascending to you. Sometimes we, as earthlings, you know, human beings, we kind of think horizontally. We think of us as being here. But, wow, if we could just focus. God says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. So we're kind of like this. We're kind of going up, vertical and horizontal. But, of course, you know, I tend tendency to think of God as upward. But Jesus said, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we want to think of ourselves as not just here, but up here. I remember after my wife passed away, Roxanne, I was in a jet, and I got teary-eyed because I thought, wow, I'm closer to God and I'm closer to her. It was just an earthly thought. But wow, when I was five, you know, I don't know how far those jets go up in the sky, but oh my goodness, when you can look down, it looks like you're really up there. But see, that's God, what God is. He is in the heavens, and there's several layers to heavens. And so, you know, but God is up there. God is. That's why there was a man in the Bible who was praying one time, and he felt like his prayers couldn't go past the ceiling. But they do. They do. The devil just sits on our shoulder, and he says, your prayers aren't going any further. They do. They do. God just is. God just might have something different. Sometimes I think we have a tendency to want God to do exactly as we pray. We want God to do exactly as we say. And I have found that it just doesn't really work that way. God doesn't care about my opinion. I care about my opinion, but God doesn't need my opinion. We need God. So let's keep our vertical, you know, in line going, and it'll help us. But it's a sign that's on our way to heaven. The next sign is there's no U-turn. I like to think of it like this. Once you get saved and on your way to heaven, we don't want to go back. We don't want to turn around. No U-turns are permitted. Everyone in here this morning, no U-turns permitted. You're not going back. If I see you here this morning, we want to see you here next Sunday. Unless you're working or in the hospital. We want you here. We want you here next month. We want you here next year. We want you here. No U-turns permitted. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, the Apostle Paul, he had a very interesting thing occur in his life. And I don't hear anyone talk about this, and God brought it to my mind and put it in my heart to bring to you something that happened in Paul's life. Now, Paul was a great apostle. I don't know if you know, Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any apostle or any one writer. So the Apostle Paul, who started churches, God saved him. He was marvelous. He had two friends that walked with him very closely. His name was Luke. And we know Luke from the St. Luke, gospel. His name was Luke, and it was another man. And if you want to look this up, it's in 2 Timothy 4, 9, and 10, and you also find it in the chapter of Luke. But Paul had another man with him. His name was Demas. Now, we don't have those kind of names today in our world much, but, you know, his name was Demas. And they loved the Lord. Luke loved the Lord. Demas loved the Lord, and they were close to Paul, and they traveled with Paul. Now, here's what's very interesting. Demas decided to make a U-turn. Now, here he was with one of the greatest apostles and greatest men of God, that God changed his life. He even changed God. He had such a change, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. He changed his name. God, this man was revolutionized. He was absolutely a new creature in Christ. And now Demas, who walked with him, loved God, he made a U-turn. And Paul wrote one day, and he said, come quickly. He said, bring Luke with me. And Mark, who I didn't want at the time because I didn't think he was ready for the ministry, bring Mark with you. But Demas has forsaken me. He said, Demas has forsaken me. Having loved the present world, has departed with me, and Luke now is only with me. A man that traveled with the Apostle Paul, a man who Paul would have gave down his life, a man who was stoned, a man who gave his life, and Demas was one of his right-hand men. He made a U-turn, and he saw something in the world that he wanted more. And you know, all of us see with our eyes and hear with our ears the things that the world has to offer. When we leave this place, we see it, we know it, and some people, they will turn. They will go after the worldly ways. He said, Demas has forsaken me, so come quickly. I need more help. Bring Mark with me. Bring Mark. I need him now. Demas turned, and he said, forsook me, having loved, so, you know, loved the present world. So, you know, my admonition to you this morning is be strong. There are things that will try to pull you away and pull me away. Be strong. Make up your mind. I am going to stand. I am going to stay in God. And no matter what trials or tribulations come, I am going to stay. You have to have a mind made up, or the devil's is real, and the world is real, and you will find yourselves making a U-turn. And, you know, I wish it wasn't so, but in the Bible we find men that made U-turns, and today there are people that are, you know, leaving the Christian faith because of their own reasons. So hang in there. Be strong in the power of his might. Be strong, and just make up your mind. Whatever comes my way, like the song said, sovereign in his will, I'm going to serve the sovereign God. Oops. This one is the sign of no parking. No parking. Did you ever know that in the scriptures it states that we're pilgrims and strangers in this world? So we have to walk through this world. We have to be in this world. We have to continue to sojourn, so to speak. We have to continue to travel, continue to walk in this world. But God wants us to continually walk forward. You know, there's not anything. I remember this is, God just brought this to my mind, so he must not want me to say it, but years ago, I'm going to say about 4 or 5 years ago, I had a really tough time with my supervisor at that time. No longer my supervisor today. I'm still in the same agency, but I had a tough time. And I remember we kind of had a little falling out. It was all work-related, but we had a little falling out. And I moved on. And I moved on in the agency and took another position. But I remember the day I felt in my heart, and I texted my former supervisor. And I said to her, I said, you know what? We can't, you or I, can't do anything about what happened in the past. There's nothing that you or I can do to change that. But for me, I'd like to say, let's forget it and let's go on and let's just, you know, move on in life. Because once in a while we might cross paths. And I want you to know, this is what I want to do. I want to forget it. I want to move on. In other words, I was saying, I want you to forgive me. I want you to forgive. Oh, you know, forgiveness is funny. You know what I've found out in life? This isn't in my notes. I found out in life, forgiveness sounds wonderful. I found out in life, if you hear a preacher, or you hear somebody, or you hear a neighbor, or you hear your husband or wife say, oh, forgive. Christians says, forgive. That sounds so good. But when you have to do it, when you have to forgive, that's when I found out it's a little harder. That's what I found out. Forgiveness sounds wonderful, but forgiveness comes a little more difficult when you have to do it. So I said, I can't remember all what I said, but I said, basically, I forgive you and I want you to forgive me. And she texted me back and said, she said, that was so well said. I agree. And you know what? We've been friends ever since, and we've let bygones be bygones. But you know that God, this is a God work. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to forgive. He doesn't want us to park ourselves. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to continually move in drive, not reverse, not even neutral. He wants us to move forward. So let's not fret the small things, but God wants us to move forward, and sometimes we have to leave things, in the rearview mirror. Sometimes we do. Sometimes you and I, we have to forgive each other for something we've said. Sometimes it's not even worth, worrying about. Sometimes maybe I've said something to you or you've said something to me. Let's forget it. Let's let all those icky things go. Let's let those small things go. Like they say, let's not sweat the small things, because God wants to filter us and he doesn't want you to stay where you are. Don't park yourself. Let's move forward. I want to. And I want all of us to. We're all in this together. Oh my goodness. There's none of us perfect. Like I say, right now I'm here. So I say from the pulpit to the door, there's none of us perfect, but we can get along and we can become an M&M. I just named that myself. Know what an M&M is? Becoming more mature. Let's become an M&M. Let's be more mature. Let's just say, God, I'm not going to park, but I am moving forward. I am going forward with you. The next one has a flag out. He's a flagger. I thought of Dave. I don't know why. I thought, Dave, I'm going to make you a flagger. I'm going to put a flag in your hand. You're going to say, be cautious. Be cautious. We're going into a work zone. Be cautious. There's danger ahead. Proverbs 27:12 says this. The prudent sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and they suffer for it. So we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. That guy out there, he's a flag man. He wants us to be careful. He wants us to sense danger. He wants us to keep us safe. He wants us to stay away from those danger zones. When I was about 14 years old, I might have been 15, but somewhere in there, at that time I was in a very small church. And we had a man in the church that he got out. I was born and raised in Erie, so in around that area. He got out on Lake Erie and he thought, I'll take a shortcut. I'm going to cut across. I don't remember what he was doing. I was very young, but I do remember this very clearly. He said, I'm going to take a shortcut. I'm going to cross over here on the ice, and I'm going to go over to the other part of the land. I'm thinking it might have been ice fishing, but I was so young, and I didn't get all the details, but I remember this very clearly. The man fell through the ice, and he held on, and he held on, and he held on, and they called out helicopters. They did everything they could to him, but they couldn't get to him in time. And finally, he went under, and it was so sad. And I thought, oh, goodness, he didn't see the danger in the ice. He didn't see the danger. He didn't see it. And his family lost him. I still remember the man. He was a good man. Just a good man. Just like us. Could have been any one of us. But he didn't see the danger in cutting across. And I think God, in our spirit, wants to warn us. Oh, there's something ahead. You know, I have this thing, and maybe it's not a good thing to say, but sometimes I say, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see the future. And it's so true. I can't see ahead. But God sometimes will help us and give us warning signs. And I think he tugs on our spirit and says, "Ooh, don't go there." And then sometimes I went there and I said, "Ooh, God, forgive me. I'll back away. I'll back away." You see, because all of us just need God's spirit to help us. But he wants to warn us. That's a sign along the way. We're on our way to heaven. But there's just going to be things that we see and things that we face and things that are hard. I'm going to a funeral. My wife and I are going up to a funeral in Olean, New York tomorrow. My kids' grandfather passed away. All of us go through things. All of us have to face things. And I want to be supportive to my girls. If it was up to me, I'm not in the family, so to speak, now. But I want to be supportive. I had a relationship at one time. And I had a good relationship. But I'm just saying, there's all things that we face. And God wants us to go on in victory. Sometimes we have a tendency to feel like we're a victim when God really is saying, "I want to give you victory. I want you to have victory. I want you to live in victory." Praise God. I hope some of the things that I'm saying here is encouraging to you. And some of you will relate to one thing, and one of you may not relate to it. Another thing might strike you. I want to help you, and I want to encourage you. Because sometimes we get right here. We get in one of those road signs that we feel like we're going in circles. Oh, my goodness. Is that off or what? Oh, I can't find the answer. I feel like I'm just going in circles. So what do? Sometimes we, kind of go in circles with anxiety of what we're facing. Sometimes we kind of feel worthless. Sometimes we feel incompetent. Sometimes we feel insignificant. Or hopeless, and maybe even at worst, sometimes we feel depressed. But in God, we want to speak the truth. We want to speak God's word. We want to believe God. And we want to turn our thinking around and say, "I am competent. I am worthy because he's made me worthy. I am consistent. I do have hope. I'm not yielding to depression, and if I yield to the depression, I'm going to resist it." The scripture says, "Resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you." Praise God. So if you find yourself going in a circle, just begin to say, "Lord, help me to live up. Help me to move up. Climb up a little higher, and he will set you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The scripture says he will set you in heavenly places in him. Because I believe that you're a winner. You know why I believe that you're a winner? Because I believe all of us are winners if we stay in Christ. Because there was a song I heard once that said, "I read the back of the book." What's the last book of the Bible? Revelations. I read the back of the book and it says we win. It says we're going to be winners. We're going over onto the other side. We are winners. Say, "I am a winner. I win in Christ. I'm not going to go in circles all the time. Sometimes we do, but we're going to break out. And we're going to live up, and he's going to give us victory." This next one below it, if you can see it, it says, "Keep right, slower traffic, but keep right." It's one of my favorites. Because I think that is a great sign on the road. I think, oh, that means in driving, that means stay in the right lane. Keep right. But in God, he says, keep right. Keep right. Don't stay in the wrong. Keep right. Psalms 19:8 says, "The precepts or commandments of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." That first scripture we read that said, "Watch in all things." I think sometimes we have a tendency as humans to think God really asks a lot from us. Watch in all things. He has so many rules. No, when you begin to love the Lord, all these things begin to sort of fall into line. All these things begin to fall into place. And you say, "I want to do this because I love the Lord. Not because he's commanding me to, but because I'm his and I want to." So these things that initially sometimes seems like, oh, so many rules. Are they really rules, or are they commandments that God gives us? But pretty soon in our hearts, we're saying, I want to keep right. I want to do this. I want to do this. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart, giving rejoicing to our lives. And joy is what we get from it. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. So when you're right and you're keeping his commandments, you'll get happy. You'll be happy. You'll be joyful in him. Rejoice is an action. To rejoice is a choice. Oh, I choose not to. I'm having a bad day and I just choose not to. Rejoice, rejoice. I choose to. I'm going to put that into action. I have some down days, but I'm glad to say I have more up days than I have down days. Some people have more down days than they have up days. But he said we can have more up days than we have down days if we will rejoice in him. Let me give you a Bible illustration. In Acts 16, 25 and 26, Paul and Silas, they were friends, and they found themselves in jail. Now, I hope I can rejoice in jail. That's a tough one. But these are our role models. These are our Christian guys that found themselves in jail. And it says, at the midnight hour, they began to praise the Lord. At the midnight hour, they began to sing. And at the midnight hour, they began to praise the Lord. Wow. In jail. Somehow, it touched the heart of God to where God began to shake the earth. And the scripture says there was an earthquake. And it opened up the door. And it took off the shackles. They made a choice. They made a choice to rejoice. They made a choice to praise the Lord. They made a choice that even though I'm in jail, I'm going to praise God. And acts, a miracle occurred. So, you know, things can happen when we make a choice. So we make a choice. And sometimes that's a conscious choice. We have to say, I am going to praise God. I'm going to be in him. I'm going to keep right. So I want to do that. I just want to make that choice. And he gives us victory. He will help us. Amen. I hope no one's in a real big hurry. I've kind of lost track of time. Hey, you know what? Sometimes I think Sunday morning's our big morning. It's our big, we need a shot in the arm. We need a shot in the arm. Sometimes we need that booster shot because we got to go all week long, don't we? This sign says school speed limit 15. Basically, it's saying to slow down. Sometimes you just got to heed the sign. We got to slow down because it's for safety. Is it for the driver's safety? If we see the sign that says school speed limit slow down, is it really for the driver's safety? No, it's for the children's safety. It's for others' safety. And sometimes I think we get in a hurry. We do get in a hurry, you know. And God said in his word to move at let me back up. I'm going to say this is in 3 Richard 4. It's me thinking. Sometimes I think we just got to slow down. Sometimes I just think we have to say, God, help me to accept your ways in a way that will help me. And sometimes I think we get in a fast-paced life. I know at work I'm always like, I work in a house that has stairs, and I always feel like my office is upstairs. Staff bedroom, bathroom's upstairs. I feel like I'm climbing stairs all the time, and I always feel like I'm going. Of course, I think it's physically is probably good for me. But, you know, sometimes I just think we get in such a hurry, and I think in the Gospels we get in such a hurry. How many has ever been in a hurry and said, oh, I got to read one scripture today. I just got to read it really quick. The Lord is my shepherd. I just got to get through this. We get in such a hurry. And God says, slow down, slow down. I'll bring you peace. And sometimes that's a challenge for all of us to slow down. But I think it's a good thing that sometimes we see this sign to slow down. And he'll give you the power to do that. Sometimes I think we miss some of the promises of God because we live in a very fast-paced life. We live in 2016. What do you think it was like in 1816? What do you think it was like in 1916? we'd still be riding horses. We would have to slow down. But today, vroom, I'll be on the highway tomorrow. Let's see, this is maybe bad, but if it's 65, I go 70. If it's 55, I go 60. I want to go whatever, the fastest I can, in the safest way, but in a legal way. I've always gone 5 miles over the speed limit, and I've never been picked up for speeding. Only one time in my life I got a ticket, and that's because my speedometer didn't work. And I didn't think that was fair, but it happened that way. I was in North Carolina and was coming down this steep hill. See there, I wasn't slowing down enough. I was coming down the field and I was gaining speed. I'll tell you, speed, I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know what? I said, I'm a little older now and I don't feel the need for speed. I like riding my bike and now I feel like just going like 10 miles an hour. I don't feel the need for speed. I like slowing down. I like slowing down. I have to slow down. Oh, I better move on. I have something that I showed somebody just before service. And I said, this is a glass that has a liquid in it, and I put food dye in it so you could see it. But, you know, all of us will look at a glass sometimes, you know, like this and view it different. Some of us will say the glass is not full, and some of us will say the glass isn't empty. Some will say it's half full or it's half empty. Which is it? I would like to, if I was to go according to Philippians 4:19, that says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I would like to think of a more positive way. So I'm going to, my mind wants to say it's half empty, but my heart wants to say it's half full. It's probably both. If I was to probably ask an engineer, which I'm not going to do at the moment, but it's probably both. 50-50. Wouldn't it be both? But see, it's in our mind's eye. How do we view this? It's in our mind's eye. So let's say it's half full. And so, you know, it's our perception. A lot of things just are perception. So I'm encouraging you to think of it in a positive way. This one will scoot through real fast. How many men, that was Christians many years ago. It was a saying, Jesus is the way, or one way, and it was very, very popular. So I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to move on, but that was one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So praise the Lord for that. Whoops, I almost gave you my notes. Don't want to do that. Okay, this one here, as I wrote, a sign to heaven is sliding. Sometimes we begin to get off course. Sometimes we do slide. Sometimes, you know, we kind of lose our faith in God. And sometimes I struggle with faith. I struggle with faith, and so I have to get into the Word. I have to believe God. I have to, just get a hold of myself and say, I know the Word of God. Lord, help me to believe this. Sometimes I have to say, believe, be wild. I have down here, be wild about His plans for you. Sometimes you may think I'm a little wild, but I said to my wife the other day, I said, you know what? You know me today. Think about me when I was 25. I'm 6 decades old, and at 25, I was, man. But you know what? I've been saved. I love the Lord, and I've been saved since I've been 13 years old. And so now I can say to you, I'm wild about God. I'm wild about His Word. I'm wild. I want to live up. I want to be encouraged. I want to be developed. I want to be more mature. I want to stay in Him. And when I begin to slide, and I've freely admitted to you that I slide, we all, you know, slip and slide. We all, you know, lose our footing sometimes. And then we have to say, God, I'm going to believe you to correct me. I want to bring me up, set me up, bring me up. There's not any of us that don't go through things, but help me. Help me on this road to heaven. You'll give me the signs that'll help me. You'll give me the word that'll help me. You'll give me the word of God that will help me. You'll give me his promises that will help me. This isn't in the word. This is just my thought. But it was a thought that came to me this week, and I said, Lord, that is so good. I believe that God is concerned more about who you are than what you do. Think about that. God is concerned about who you are than what you do. I praise the Lord for everything I do. I don't take it for granted. I humbly say that I love doing things for God. I love doing things for myself. I love some of the things that I can do. But God isn't so concerned about what we do as who you are. God's concerned about who you are more than what you do. So it's just a thought for you this morning. This next one, I actually don't want to say anything about it. It's a stop sign. And I actually have about in my notes, pray about this sign on your road to heaven. Sometimes, you know, God just wants us to stop something we're doing. You just pray about that. What does God want me to stop? What does God want me to stop doing? See, that's it's a spiritual analogy. And then God gives us promises, and then he wants us to put an application to it. He wants us to move forward in it. So the stop sign isn't for my comment. It's for you. But it can be helpful. This sign, and we're still on the road. You're still on the road to church. You see these signs. Now, the next time you go down the road, you're going to see all these signs and say, ah, I remember that message. God wants me to keep right. This one says, road closed ahead. Sometimes God opens doors. Sometimes he opens roads. And sometimes he closes doors. But we have to trust him. We have to believe him that he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. And there's no magic to this. It's not like a light switch where you go off. If I was to ask Dennis back there to hit the light switches, he can instantly make the lights go off. He can instantly turn them on. Watch. Look at the power that man has. Let there be light. Let there be darkness. It seems like there's magic in that light switch, but there isn't much magic in us. So we have to ask God to help us. We have to believe God and surrender ourselves to him. I still think of that yield sign. That we're in the King James Version, the scripture says, yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness. In the modified or the revised versions, it says present yourself. But I like that. Yield yourselves to God. And so submit. If there's a road closed, just don't go there. The next one is, as we all know, is stop lights, red, yellow, and green. Someone told me in here, I think I remember who it was, that sometimes they don't see those colors exactly like that. But sometimes, you know, God speaks to us to stop. It's red. Sometimes he speaks to us yellow. Just slow down. Slow down. And sometimes he lets us go. So that's really cool. But we need to identify that with that. And we need to be willing to have a relationship with God to where we can read the signs on our way to heaven. Read those signs. Sometimes he says stop. Sometimes he says, oh, there's an amber light. What does an amber light mean? Okay. Someone said slow down. Okay. What does an amber light mean? Caution or? Huh? For it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Get through it. And then there's the green. Then there's the green light that says we can go ahead. So God works in our hearts, and I'm sure he's working in our hearts and saying, go ahead. You know, there's always something to pray about. There's always a brother in need. There's always a sister that needs prayer. Did I give you my notes? Oh. This is a little bit different. I've never done this in my life, but we're doing it now. This is our last one. Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, narrow is the way. These are, you know, when a road begins to, you know, be a four-way and it's going to go to maybe a two-lane. Jesus said, narrow is the way and narrow is the gate. And he says, sometimes it's difficult to find that narrow way. And actually, Jesus said, this narrow way, I'm paraphrasing, but in Matthew 7:14, it talks about we are on a narrow way. The world is on a wide and broad way, but God brings us into a narrow way, and it says it leads us to life, and few there be that find it. You know, and I was pondering this as I was studying for this message, and I thought, few. I didn't like that. As a human being, I don't like that. Few. Few that be that find it. But what it is if you think about it, in the context of the world globe, we're really in the minority. Christians are really in the minorities. If you think of it, they say we are now somewhere between 6 and 7 billion people on the earth. How many Christians are in the 7 billion? We're really in a minority. And praise God, he's given us the light. Praise God, he's given us the word. And he's opened up our hearts and opened up our minds that we can accept the Lord. But we're really in the small. We are in the few. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at it, but we do want to know that we are in a straight and narrow. So we can't do everything the world does. We can't have the same pleasures, the same worldly activities. I mean, sometimes there are things that we can't do. But you know what? We're on our way to heaven. And we're on our way to something more glorious. And he'll give you joy as you travel. He'll give you joy. He wants to keep you safe. These signs are for our safety. The word of God is for our safety. It's to move us, help us to move forward because we are his. And then we trade our troubles for a place of refuge. We trade our longing sometimes and have to ignore it and refuse it for his goodness, his mercy, and his and heaven, which is eternal security. We are eternally secure in him. I think we have a great deal. I think it's a wonderful plan. God's given us a wonderful plan. Let's walk in it. Let's just keep moving forward in Jesus' name. If Gene would come to the piano, let's pray. I just feel to pray for a moment. God, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I thank you that we can understand your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can have joy in your word. We thank you we can enjoy each other and just walk in each other and have fellowship with one another. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this isn't a mundane life. This isn't a Christian life that's a had to or an awful time. But we thank you, Lord, that you give us these moments of happiness and realize that you have give us a life that is abundant. And sometimes there are trials and tribulations and we do stumble or we do slip and slide. But we thank you, Lord, that you keep us. We didn't fall out with you. We fell out with a problem. We didn't fall out with a circumstance. But maybe we did have trouble. Maybe we did sin. Maybe we did slide. Maybe we did get confused. Maybe we did slide into depression. But God, I thank you that we're your child. We are your son and we are your daughters and we're yours. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the hope of the future and we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope. I believe it with all of my heart. And God, we're believing it together. And Lord, I may be the speaker at the moment, but Lord, I thank you that you're encouraging our lives. You're encouraging me. You're encouraging each one of us to move forward. And we thank you for the signs that you give us. And we thank you for the precious word of God that will lead us onto a path that you said grows brighter and brighter into the perfect day. And he that which starts a work in you will continue it. And we just thank you for all that you've done. We thank you that, Lord, we can slow down and see what you're doing. Even if we don't know it, we trust you. Even if we can't see the future, we trust you. I pray that you'll give each one that's here, Lord, under the sound of my voice now, we just pray that you'll give us the courage and the strength to move forward and move on in a glorious way that maybe we didn't even have before. Work a work in us. Work a work in our spirits, in our soulish realm, that we can just thank you. In that mighty and wonderful and precious name of Jesus. And all the people said, Amen.